God, it's so good to be in your presence this weekend and this morning. And God, we thank you for your word that speaks to us and is made alive by the Holy Spirit, by the illuminating work of the Spirit. So God, I pray today would not just be an exercise for our mind and our intellect, but God, would you do something deep inside in our own spirit? And God, would you move beyond even our soul into our spirit? Holy Spirit, would you direct us, shape us, mold us? May we sense your glory. And so, God, I pray that we would be ready for all that you have for us. May we be transformed by your Spirit this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Well, if you've been with us in the last number of months, you'll know that we've been in the book of Acts, and then we switched gears into Galatians when Paul wrote this letter in Acts chapter 15 to the Galatian church. We just followed the book of Galatians, and the two are very much connected. And what we've noticed, or I don't know if you've noticed, but what I've noticed is going through the book of Acts and going through Galatians, we've talked a lot about the Holy Spirit. And I think that's a good thing because the Holy Spirit is such an important part of our walk with God. And we experience things from the Holy Spirit that are incredible, just like the book of Acts. And so here we go, talking about the Holy Spirit again, but that's just a part of this little verse that we've got. And as we've worked through the Galatians and the book of Acts, many times we've seen long narratives and stories. Well, today, only seven words. And it's just these seven words, the fruit of the Spirit is love. But in those seven words, there's three huge words packed into there that make this more than I can even talk about all of it this morning. So I have you have a bulletin insert. If you don't, just raise your hand and we'll make sure you get one. And we're going to dig into God's word here and look at what some of these fruit of the Spirit, this fruit of the Spirit of love. Here's one needed here. It's coming. And we're going to look at this passage. So the first thing I want to say is the Holy Spirit calls out to the church and to the world. The Holy Spirit is the one that makes our faith present and real. He's the one that knits in our spirit to inform us, direct us, and teach us many things. And so he works with us personally, humanity, within his church. He does all sorts of different ministries, gives us all sorts of things. And then to the world, he actually is the one who convicts someone in the world. So I don't know if you ever had an opportunity to be sharing with someone and they just don't get it. You can be so clear about the gospel and they just don't get it. It's because the Spirit may not be convicting their heart. And that's the work that only He can do. And so when we look at the Holy Spirit's ministry, we see it written all over the page of Scripture. I can't give it all to you this morning. There's just so much. And I actually got to thinking, where is this first instance of the Holy Spirit? It's way back at the beginning of Genesis. The second verse is what came to my mind as I thought about this. Second verse says he was involved in creation. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness came over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Then I got to thinking, you know what, if it's the second verse from the very beginning of the Bible, where does it line up at the end? So I went into Revelation 22, the last chapter of the Bible, and I noticed verse 17, just five verses from the end of the book, from the end of the Bible, and it says this. It's talking about the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, the Spirit and the bride is the church, say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. So from beginning to end of this world, the Spirit is going to be alive and moving, and He's going to be working with us. And I love this passage out of Revelation 22. Talks about the bride, that's the church. Talks about just the days before the Lord Jesus comes again. And I think there's going to be some interesting days just before He comes again. And there's going to be interesting days for us, because I'm convinced that God's going to share much of what He's doing with us. I read that in Scripture, and He's going to be instilling in us this passion to go and tell the world. So if it hasn't settled in on you now, I believe it's going to come. I believe the Spirit wants us to be telling others that He might spend eternity with as many people as He possibly can in this world. So He says, help people to come to know me. And throughout the Bible, there are many descriptors of the Holy Spirit's work and His ministry. to those who are followers of Jesus. And I just want to give you a whole bunch of words really quickly here, and there's many, many more about the work of the Spirit. He convicts, He teaches, He leads, He comforts, He gives us discernment, He helps us in our weakness, He fills us, empowers us, produces godly character, gives gifts, leads the church, produces godly fruit in us. Many, many more things I could say about the work of the Spirit. Very important stuff. So that's one of the words that's in our passage this morning. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The Holy Spirit desires a personal relationship with us. And it's interesting, the Bible tells us that our response to Him, He has a response to how we respond to Him. And it's very interesting that it affects Him. The Bible says very clearly the Holy Spirit is not a force. The Holy Spirit is God. And He's got a personality. And so He's got a mind, He's got will, and He's got emotion, much like us. And in His... And that's His soul, His personality. And the Bible says that in his emotions, He can be grieved. He can be grieved how we treat Him. He can be grieved how we treat one another. And so I'm convinced that the Holy Spirit is very sensitive to how we invite Him into our lives. Remember when Stephen said this, we looked at this in Acts chapter 7, verse 51, and Stephen was being stoned, and he looked up to heaven, it says there, and under the anointing of the Spirit, it says, why, he said to the elders of the church, why do you repeatedly resist the Holy Spirit? I thought to myself, wow, could I be one who may be resisting the Holy Spirit? So I asked myself this question. This week, did I have time to listen to the Spirit? Did I make time to exercise the gifts that He's given me? Or have I unwittingly, maybe unknowingly, maybe not consciously, resisted Him in some way? Was there more He wanted to do with my life this week? How do we treat the Holy Spirit? Do we let Him do His work to counsel us? Do we let Him do His work to comfort us? Do we desire to draw near that He would give us gifts and that we would bear fruit for Him? Good questions that I ask myself this week. I want to go to the second phrase here on this, on your bulletin insert. It says, how do we receive everything that the Spirit wants to give to us? We need to stay close to receive His love. Now, I could go to many passages of Scripture that talk about this closeness that we get to experience with the Holy Spirit. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 to 3 was a passage that I memorized, one of the first passages I memorized as I was growing up. Kept me from a lot of things. The first phrase says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. Don't know how many times that word went through my head as I was growing up when I was in junior high and tempted to do all these things with my friends that were not right, and I felt the work of the Spirit going, no, no, no. And this verse would come into my mind. Or stand in the way of sinners, or take or sit in the company of mockers. But those who delight in the law of the Lord and who meditate on His law day and night, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do prospers. Talk about being close, sending your roots down to the water that would be nourishing you coming from the Spirit of God. Stay close. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8 says similar things. It says, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. Builds your faith. The one who would put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and let His Spirit do a work. Open yourself by faith to what the Spirit has to say. It says they will be like a fruit planted by, sorry, be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. There's that idea of closeness. There's the idea of sending your roots down into God that He may work in your life. Look at John 15. Again, this closeness is even brought closer. It says, Jesus says this, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Ouch. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. Interesting how he's interested in the fruit of our lives. Goes on into verse 4, it says, if you want to produce fruit and much fruit, it says, remain in me, and I will also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. You know, I'm reading here, it's not going to take effort. It's going to take relationship. God's just going to bear fruit in our life if we should be connected to him. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. How's the fruit bearing in your own life? I'm convinced that if we would be close to God, he will bring that energy and that passion into our life. He will, if there's worry in our life, he says, get connected to me. Some things in life you may not be able to fix without the Holy Spirit's ministry to you. He may put you into those situations that you might draw your roots down into him, that you might take what he has from the vine into your branch. The Bible makes mention of fruit 24 out of 27 books of the New Testament. And there's all sorts of fruit is described in many ways in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 describes, it talks about the fruit of our lips bringing praise. We did that as we worshiped this morning. You think of yourself bringing praise to God, and that's the fruit that you are giving to him in worship. Colossians 1:10 says that fruit is godly deeds that we do in our life. John 4 would talk about fruit is winning people to Christ. So we see a lot of fruit in the scripture that has to do with action. But the one thing we're talking about in this series on the fruit of the Spirit, which we're going to be in for the next 5 weeks, it's attitude that we're talking about here. All of these fruit of the Spirit are attitudes that need to be formed in our life. And I think what the Spirit is trying to do is he's trying to change us from the inside out. That's something we sang about here just a few moments ago. Change me from the inside out. God, would you pour your Spirit in the form of fruit into my life, that you would change my attitude so that my actions would be impacted. Now, one of the things I've noticed in the Christian life is this relationship that God wants to have with me. And he wants to make me prosper, like Psalm 1 talked about in Jeremiah 17. He wants to do good things in my life. But it's got to be a two-way situation. I have two edible apple trees in my yard. Now, I don't consider crab apples to be that edible, but these are real kind of apples, you know, pretty good sized ones, and they taste good and you can eat them. These apple trees are very important to me. I really enjoy going and watching the fruit formed. I enjoy watching how many they've got on the tree. Interesting this year, I have a very mature one that was in my place when I bought the place 15 years ago. It produces really nice apples. Last year, there were probably 40, 50 apples on that tree. This year, there's only about two or three. But I bought another tree. I'm thinking that'd be maybe 5, 6 years ago. And it's a really interesting tree. I don't know if you ever heard of this or seen this, but it has grafts on it. So 7 different types of apples off one tree. Fascinating. The first year I brought it home, and there were apples everywhere. Somehow the nursery could take better care of it than I did, I think, but there were apples all over it. And I was fascinated by it. That winter, it froze off, and now I only have 4 varieties left, and the other 3 have got frozen off, and they're not there anymore. But still fascinating. This year, that tree is producing like crazy. Very interesting how I treat those trees differently. You may think I'm a little bit gone here. But I love trees. And, you know, I've noticed what I do is we've had a fair bit of rain lately, but my sump pump is kicking out the water, and I use that black hose, that sump pump hose. I move it right out to my trees, and I water my trees with it. So it sits on different types of different trees every so often. I go and move it. And I've noticed one thing. That hose has never been on the old mature tree that's only got 3 or 4 apples on it. It's like, I won't even worry about that tree this year. But you know the tree that gets it the most? The one that's producing like crazy. And that tree has got is flourishing because I'm giving it water. I also notice another thing. I'm really mindful when I take my mower and I mow around it. I don't want to hit it. So I don't want to see those apples on the ground. But the other one, whatever. I think I was just kind of from repressed anger there. Just give it a jolt. Maybe it'll do something. And there's fertilizer coming here in a bit. And I'm just thinking in my mind, I'm not sure I'm going to fertilize that guy. But this one I'm going to. You know what? I'm just convinced that sometimes that's the way God looks at us. And he says, you know what? If you will go out and bear fruit, I'm going to take care of you like I'm going to be watching you. I like the passage in Job chapter 1, verses 6 to 10. Very interesting scenario here. It says, one day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan was also came with them. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming throughout the earth. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Doesn't that sound a lot like what I was just talking about? You may come over to my place and I say, have you considered my apple tree? Look at this thing. 4 different varieties left on this tree and it's producing like crazy. I hear that in what God is saying here. Have you considered my servant Job? He's kind of bragging about Job. There is no one on earth like him, he says. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Satan says, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? And you have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. Do you get what I'm trying to say here? God is watching. He's watching the kind of fruit we're producing. And he's saying, how can I get more fruit in this person's life? How can I bless them? And so, not only is God watching, but Satan is watching as well. God wants us to bear much fruit. So let's look at this whole idea of the fruit of the Spirit, the first one as love. One simple word stands alone as the supreme description of the essence of the Christian life, and that word is love. I'd like to say that you could talk to your neighbors and talk to someone who doesn't know God and has been watching our lives, and what would he say about God? I think, and I hope that he would say, my neighbor would say, it's about love. I think God is love. And I think it's God is love because I've been watching Christians and how they live their life. But I think God, this first one, love, God just wants to pour it into our life. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8 has something very simple to say. It just says, God is love. The essence of who he is, he's first of all a God of love. Now, this word here is one of 4 words used in the Greek language. This word is agape. Now, in English, we only have one word for love. And it stretches to try and cover all the ways we would use the word love. Not in the Greek. There's 4 different words here that mean different things. So you may say, I just love jelly donuts. Or you could say, you know what, I love my spouse to the point, I love God to the point where I would give my life. There's a huge difference between those 2 scenarios, but the same word. God is saying here to us, he says, my love for you is agape love. A love that is unselfish, self-giving. There's a willful devotion. There's a love I have for you that I would give my life for you. It's a love that centers around the needs and welfare of the one loved and will pay whatever personal price is necessary to meet those needs in that other person. An example that sticks in my mind, because of a situation I was in. And I remember getting a call. I was at the church, and this guy said, you got to get to this farm because there's a fire going, and we got to help fight fire. So pastor, part-time firefighter, all sorts of things. And so we all went out there, and we put out this fire, and it went through his chicken house, and it burnt out a ways beyond the chicken house. And so this illustration sounds a lot like that. It's not my illustration. But it talks about a farmer who had the same thing happen, where the fire ripped through the chicken house and the chickens were going everywhere trying to get away from this fire. And so as the farmer went out to assess the damage, he noticed a lot of his chickens had died in the fire, and their charred remains were in the field. And with sadness, he looked at one chicken that he remembered had 8 chicks. And so he went over and he kicked the carcass, and out scampered these chicks. Here's a hen that couldn't outrun the fire with her chicks. So she decided that she would give her life to sustain the lives of these chicks. That's the idea of agape love. That self-sacrificing kind of love that even Jesus had for us. Point number 3, it's a love that flows to us, through us, and to those around us. That's the kind of love that God wants to see. So first of all, as we were talking about God's love, it's what caused him to create us in the first place. You see, love needs to have an object of its affection. And he said, these are the ones I want to love. I want to create humans so I can love them with the kind of love that comes from my being. And you'll know that it wasn't long before we messed this up. We failed and we rebelled against God. And it says that even though we failed and we rebelled against God, Romans 5:8 would say this. It says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:5, love this passage. It speaks of exactly what this third point is saying. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This command to love has been given to us, one of the greatest commandments that Jesus has said. And this, the Pharisees came to Jesus. They tried to trick him and they said, tell us, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, let me sum them all up with this phrase. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And he said, the second is like it, that you would love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So if we do nothing in this life but love God the way he's called us to, it will allow him to pour into us, and that will go out to those around us. John 13:35 says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So is our doctrine, what we believe, our theology, is that important? Yes, very important. Our faith, should that be strong as well? Yes, but neither of these two things are a sign or a testimony to the world around us, like the Bible says love will be. By your love, people will know you to be a follower of Jesus. Foundational principle. I'd like to give you some homework, and I'd like you to go home and read 1 Corinthians 13, because 1 Corinthians 13, God takes a whole chapter, and he breaks down the kind of love that he wants to put into our life. And there's a whole bunch of descriptors, a whole chapter on descriptors. And coming out of that passage, 1 Corinthians 14:1, the next verse, Paul basically says, follow the way of love. Two more chapters. He says, do everything in love. Love others. Be concerned about others. Sacrifice your goals and dreams for others. Love should typify our lives. It's something that I think the world needs to see, because I don't think they get this principle. I don't think they get the Holy Spirit pouring into them so that they can love others under his power and strength. I'd like to say that I would be a guy who would say, no, I want to give you this out of love, because I know when I give you this out of love, it creates a vacuum and God is going to pour it into me. And you know what? I grew up with a stream. There was a stream running behind our house. And in the spring, that stream flowed with a lot of water. And the water was pure and it was clean and it just washed everything down the creek. It was great. But in this time of year, in the summer, it really slowed up, got very stagnant, got dirty, and lots of bugs and stuff like that. And I think that's the flow, that really tells the story of the flow of our own life. God wants to pour it into us, and He does pour it into us. He expects us to give it out to those around us. And when we don't, what happens? It all stops up, and we get stagnant. And we don't grow, because we're not giving out the love that He's poured into us. But if we should give it out, just like that stream would clean up all sorts of things, I believe that that's the flow of the Spirit that God wants in our life. And so, I don't know about you, but I desire more than anything else in my life to experience the presence of God. I want to hear Him. I want to sense Him. I want to know Him. Not only do I want to sense the presence of God, but I want to sense the power of God as well working in me. I need His power for fruitful ministry. And the courage actually to step out and do things beyond my ability, knowing that it's God who will pour the courage into me, pour the ability into me, pour all those things into me. I want the power and presence of God. But I also know, after living with in the kingdom for this long, that there are things that actually they thwart His power and presence in my life. And I think one of them is that I don't love the way I ought to. And so I believe that there are people in all of our lives that are hard to love. And we need the fruit of the Spirit to help us love them the way God would want to love them. And so we have people in our life that are just humanly hard to love. And I want in your mind to be thinking of someone in your life that's hard to love. Maybe it's a boss. He's difficult, she's demanding, unreasonable. Maybe it's a neighbor who is inconsiderate, noisy, unfriendly, and you just have a hard time loving them. Maybe it's a workmate. Maybe it's a sibling that for years you've lived in the same house and you think that they are self-serving, they are argumentative, they push all your buttons, and you've just had a tough time living all these years, and now it's going on, it still goes on. Hard to love this sibling. I hear a lot of parents and teens talking to me about how hard it is to love one another. I hear of parents who say, you know what, my kid just lives with this entitlement and they just expect that I'm going to do all these things for them and I'm having a tough time loving them right now. And then I hear teens who say, you know what, I'm tired of my parents controlling me, treating me like I'm still 4 and 5 years old. I'm just having a hard time staying in my house right now and loving them in return. Maybe it's a spouse or it's an ex. Maybe it's a friend who no longer is a friend, but you still run into them in the circles that you travel in. Just people that are hard to love. I believe this is why we need the power of the Spirit. Because God wants us to respond in a responsible way to even these people that are hard to love around us. And I believe that the fruit of the Spirit of love is able to touch deep inside of us, go beyond what we're feeling even in our emotions, go beyond our will and the decisions we make concerning them, going beyond our mind that has reasoned that we don't have to have anything to do with them. In fact, we can plot revenge. How am I going to get even? How am I going to get my way? Or maybe we just want to figure out ways to ignore them. This is a fruit. This is a fruit of the Spirit that will go beyond all of those things and touch you deep within and change your attitude. That's the power of the Spirit. That's what these fruit are here to do. So I want you to be thinking about that person. And I want you also to be thinking about the flow of the Spirit in your life. Remember last week, if you were here, we talked about the passage of Scripture around this fruit of the Spirit. We didn't deal with the fruit of the Spirit, but we talked about the passage around the context of where this is. Do you remember some of the words that came out? There's these five phrases: that we would be led by the Spirit, that we would keep in step with the Spirit, that we would please the Spirit. Those kind of, when we do that, when we keep in step, God wants to do some amazing things in our lives. So I want to get practical here at the end of this message. Is there someone in your mind right now that you find hard to love? Maybe it's someone who's difficult, they're mean, they're nasty, there's a personality clash. You just don't see eye to eye. Got someone in your mind? I want to ask you about that someone. Can you love them in your own strength? How's it working for you? Do you want to love them? Some of you may say yes, some of you may say no. Would you like someone to help you love them? I would say, yes, I need the Holy Spirit's work in this area. That is His ministry to us. So I want you to hold your hands like we've done a lot around here. You don't need to do this, but I'm inviting you to. And we're going to pray and we're going to ask that the Holy Spirit would do a work in our life and help us to love that person. And in loving that person, we'll be honoring the Holy Spirit. We'll be working with Him. We'll be keeping in step with Him because He wants us to love all people. Do we have to like all people? No. But we do have to love all people. So I want God to do a work in us so that we can do a work for Him and bear fruit in this whole area of love. Let's pray. God, we recognize that it's hard to love everyone around us. But God, we also believe in that You desire to do a work in us. We recognize we need Your help today. God, we need You to change our emotions, to work in our will, to work in our mind, to change even some of the thought patterns. So we ask, will You bring Your supernatural love to bear on this situation? God, would You work deep within us? Would You help us to lay down new tracks in this whole area of loving those around us? Teach us. God, that our heart, in our heart, we want to be loving to others. And so I pray that we would not cause Your heart to be grieving because of our actions. And so, God, I pray that You would pour Your power and presence into your life. This fruit of the Spirit, if love, we need. Renew us. Restore us. Fill us. Help us to show love even to the unlovable. And God, may we, every one of us, respond in love this week. Fill us with Your amazing love that we might pass it on to others. And so, God, we just want to celebrate and we want to praise Your work in our life by singing this song. Amen. Stay standing for a few moments. I love to be blessed. And I think that one of the things we have going for us as followers of Christ is there are blessings that we should be pronouncing over one another. And so today I want to take a word of blessing from Ephesians chapter 3, 17 to 19. It was the church of Ephesus that Paul said, I want you to receive this blessing. So as we go from here, I want you to receive this blessing. May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all God, the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Let's grasp it this week. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. I leave you with that blessing. May you go from here and honor God and love the people around you. If you need prayer this morning, we always have room at the cross to pray for you. No matter what your situation, we want to pray for you. We want to love you in that way. So God bless you. May you experience His love this week.